The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Our text in today's gospel comes from the book of Matthew. And you put all four gospels together, only two, Matthew and Luke, tell us about the narrative of the birth of Jesus. John and Mark don't mention it. They begin with the public life of Christ. So we're left with Matthew and with Luke, and they are somewhat different in the manner in which they narrate the story of the birth of Jesus. Since Matthew is a Jewish gospel, Luke a Gentile gospel. Luke is the only Gentile writing in the New Testament, and he writes more of it than anybody else. That's Luke. We're with Matthew today, the Jewish gospel. And we have the story about Joseph. Joseph is a dreamer. Now, the Jewish church of Matthew will remember Joseph the dreamer, because way back in the book of Genesis, we have Joseph with the magnificent technicolor coat, remember him? This Joseph, the patriarch Joseph, saved his people, the people of Israel. And now the Jewish people will remember the new Joseph, who is also a dreamer, because the Joseph way back in Genesis saved his people through his dreams. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. You'll remember that. So they said this is a dreamer, and God speaks through his dreams. The angel appears to Joseph in a dream, but all the angel also came to Mary. Remember? Do not be afraid, it is by the Holy Spirit. Okay. When the angel comes from a Latin word, angelus or angelus, and it means a messenger. The angel is just a messenger sent by the Holy Spirit. So this messenger is sent to Joseph. He has four dreams, by the way. He'll have this dream. Then he'll have a dream to take Jesus to Egypt, because he's not safe. Bring Jesus back, and then take Jesus to Nazareth. This is the first of his four dreams. He's a dreamer. God speaks to him through his dreams. So the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens him. And he said, there is something more important than the law. He's a righteous man, and he's going to follow the Mosaic law. and therefore he's going to subject Mary to the mandates of the Mosaic law. But the angel said, do not be afraid, just as the angel said to Mary. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It is by the Holy Spirit this child is conceived, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The messenger enlightens him, convinces him that there is something more important than the law. There is something more powerful, more compelling than the law itself. There's a reality greater than the law. Keep that in mind. So Joseph takes her into his home. Now, what does this mean to us? Makoto is an artist, and Makoto is Japanese. He was at Fuller here for a number of years, and many of us became familiar with Makoto. And he has a brand new book out. It's called Art Is. And in this book, he gives us this insight. He says there are two ways of seeing. Now, the language is not important. The message, the symbolism, that's important. The first way of seeing, he said, is to see with your eyes. The second way of seeing is seeing through your eyes. What does this mean? This past week, I had an opportunity to be at the City of Hope, and I went to the lab of Dr. Steve Gruber, who is a parishioner here, sophisticated scientist, physician. He has a team, multidiscipline team, that do research. They look at through the microscope, they look at genes, they look at various phenomena, biological phenomena, and they begin to discover the origins and the way of growing that happens in the world of cancer. Looking through the microscope, they see with their eyes. They see with their eyes. But then, when Dr. Gruber goes to the bedside of the person who is sick, and he feels the pain, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the loneliness of the person, then he's seeing through his eyes. That's Makoto. Makoto Fujimura. He says it's important to see through your eyes, not just with your eyes. And the scientist in Dr. Gruber's lab is seeing with the eyes. But when you go to the person's bedside and the person is dying and the person is sick and the person is in pain, then you see through your eyes. The language is not important. The concept, that's very important. Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus sees the leper. He sees him through his eyes. He sees the pain of the leper. He sees the isolation of the leper, not just his disease. He sees his loneliness. He's ostracized from society. He sees his hopelessness. He sees the whole person. And so he heals the leper. Then he sends the leper, say, go show yourselves to the priests so that you will be reconciled with the whole community. Jesus looks at a multitude who come to hear him preach, but he sees that they're hungry. And in a miracle, he feeds them. He sees through his eyes. Chapter 4 in the Gospel of John. Remember the Samaritan woman, married 5 times, living with a man who is not her husband. what Jesus sees, her uncertainty. He sees her emptiness. He sees her searching. Doesn't see with his eyes, he says through his eyes. He sees the reality of the person. Read on in John's Gospel. So just stay with John. Chapter 8, we have the woman taken in adultery. Remember, the men brought her, and in the Mosaic Law, she should be stoned to death. But Jesus looks and he sees the woman as a victim. He's a victim of the men. She is a victim of those men. So he sees through his eyes, not just with his eyes. He sees something deeper, something more profound. And he reconciled this woman, makes no judgment about her. There's an extraordinary moment in the 22nd chapter. It's worth meditating on this. 22nd chapter of Luke. Jesus is at the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. He's brought there for judgment. Peter is there, not far away. And a maidservant says to Peter, "You are one of them." He says, "I am not one of them. I don't belong to this man." A second time she says, "But your accent betrays you. You're from Galilee. You don't have an accent from Jerusalem. You're from the north. You have a brogue from the north." He says, "I am not a follower." And finally she confronts him and he says, "I do not know the man." And then there's one line. It says, Jesus looks at him, just looks at him. And Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. Now, Jesus could have given up on him. He betrayed him. He could have abandoned him. His leader, his best friend, abandoned him in his time of crisis. But Jesus sees. He sees through his eyes. He sees his fear, his confusion. He sees his struggle, his misunderstanding of the Messiah. And therefore, Jesus doesn't allow him to walk away. He reconciles him in a beautiful moment in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. You will all remember this. You went to Tagba. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Some of you will remember that at the Sea of Galilee. So what does all this mean to us? Well, we'll get together with our families for Christmas. And we'll look at the grandchildren, the children, and the family, and they'll be wonderful, and they're fabulous. Everybody loves everybody, and it's just fantastic. And people are exchanging gifts, and everything is beautiful. See through your eyes and be grateful. See through your eyes and praise God for the gift of love, the gift of family. But some families will get together. There will be misunderstanding. People will feel left out, unrecognized. There's some division in the family. See through your eyes. See the struggle of the person, the insecurity of the person. See the yearning of the person to belong. But see through your eyes, not just with your eyes, not something superficial. It's a young person who is struggling and trying to find a way in life, contradicting all the things that parents handed on. I mean, you sent your child to Catholic school for 12 years and now he's a Mormon, and he shows up for the Christmas dinner, and you're going to say, people talk to me and say, "I'm really worried about the soul of my son or my daughter. They'll go to church." See through the eyes, see their goodness, see their struggles, their hopes, their dreams. Belong to them by seeing through your eyes, not with your eyes in judgment. People will come to church. They'll all show up at Christmas, hoping there's a place, hoping they'll feel welcome, hoping they belong. And we pray that the church will see them through our eyes, the uniqueness, the special uniqueness of each person, that everybody belongs. It doesn't matter. The uniqueness, the precious gift of each person is to see through your eyes. That's Joseph, and that's Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, they saw through their eyes. They saw something the world could not see. Their sadness at Christmas. I'm visiting four people who are on hospice. They will certainly be dead before the new year. To see through the eyes is to belong to the sadness, that Christmas is a sad time. It's a time of fear. The persons who are dying are fearful sometimes. See through your eyes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look around in our society. Do we really belong to one another? I was thinking about an undocumented family that I know. The father's undocumented. He's terrified that he will be taken away from his family. His children are terrified that they lose their daddy. But see beyond the law. Don't see with your eyes. And wonder to yourself, do we belong to the moment? Jesus belonged to the sinful people. He belonged to the tax collectors. He belonged to the broken people. He didn't just see them from a distance. He belonged to them. So do we belong to these people who are heavily burdened with fear? Are they our people? I know if you see with the law, you're seeing with the eyes. But the angel said, Joseph, there is something more profound than the law. There's a deeper reality here. There's a reality that will only be given to those who see through their eyes with compassion, with caring, with gratitude, with understanding. It's the only meaning we have for Christmas. We lose that, Christmas will lose its meaning. It's shopping and it's Christmas trees and it's gifts and, but where's the substance? Where's the soul? Where's the heart? Hey, where is it in our church? Where is it in our families? Where is it in our communities at large? How do we see through the eyes as Mikoto Fujimura asks us? That's the meaning of Christmas, my friends. It's the only meaning I know. So when I visit these sick people, these dying people, I have to belong to the place where they live. I have to be patient. I have to touch them and lay hands on them, pray with them, reassure them. Call me again, I'll be back. It's the only way in which following Jesus Christ makes any sense. You lose that. You lose the essence of the incarnation, God becoming one with us. I was thinking along these lines, and I came upon this in the last couple of weeks. It's a little meditation written by a young man. His name is Joshua. Joshua is 29. He's got cerebral palsy. And he writes a meditation to his cousin, Madeline Grace. And Madeline is 4 years old. So from the 29-year-old who has cerebral palsy, he's writing to his cousin who is 4, who also has cerebral palsy. And here's what he says. I've got about 25 years on you in this journey with cerebral palsy. I wish I could hand you a rule book or give you all the answers for growing up in a world that does not always understand. What can I tell you? Keep your sparkle. Keep your kindness. Keep your amazing little heart. And someone just a little further down the road, I built a haven to remind you that pride isn't about wobbling, it's about who you become because you do. He sees through the eyes. He sees with the heart. He belongs. He's our teacher. Amen.